Good morning, everybody, and hope you've all had a good Christmas, a peaceful one, as we were preaching about a few weeks ago, and that you'll have a very happy and blessed new year. Those who've been coming to this church a long time will remember there was a time when I was church warden here, along with Chris Irwin Childs, my partner in crime at the back. During that time, I was responsible for the crib scene, which you see in the front window. And I have to confess, I had a very unfortunate relationship with crib scenes. Margaret will remember, I think. One year, we had a message on the answer phone in the church office. Why do you have an aardvark next to the crib in your nativity scene? I remember hastily covering Joseph's mangled foot with straw so that it wasn't too obvious. And we had a quick trip to A&E once when I managed to knock off Mary's arm and it had to be repaired. But the worst times were the problems we had with the baby Jesus himself. Chris is nodding. I can remember frantically before a midnight communion piecing together body parts which we'd found in the vestry to try and make one whole baby Jesus. We got there. And then another year, just before midnight, we realized we hadn't a clue where the figure of Jesus was at all. Those are rather frivolous examples, but I do giggle every time I think of Christmas cribs, which isn't really what I should do. But today's reading told us about a much more serious and profound encounter with the real baby Jesus. Some strangers from a far-off country come to the Holy Land in search of what they believe to be a newborn king. They're following a star. They've really no idea where they're going to end up. They're travelling in faith and hope, aren't they? And I don't think they've much of a clue of what sort of a king they're going to find. But they were prepared to undertake a long journey. We think they probably came from Persia or the present Iran, and that's a journey of about 1,000 miles. And it wouldn't be an easy journey, would it? There'd be no premier inns to stay at, no motorway service stations to have a cup of coffee, even if it was a rather lousy cup of coffee. It wouldn't be an easy journey. It'd be very rough terrain. But they were determined to make that journey because they knew they were looking for someone special. And as we heard in the reading, they found that special person. Now, when people preach on the Epiphany, which is today, the 6th of January, about the journey of the Magi, I think they usually make three key points. And the key one, really, is that these people were not Jews. They'd come from foreign parts. They were Gentiles. And today, the Epiphany, which means the revelation or the showing, marks that revelation that Jesus was here for everybody, not just for God's chosen people. They were probably fairly wealthy intellectuals, and they contrast very much with those local Jewish shepherds who'd only probably travelled a mile or so to reach Jesus. They were humble, probably ill-educated. But these two very groups, different sets of people, come for the same purpose, and they find what they're looking for. And I think one of the big messages we get from today is that inclusivity of Jesus. God in human form is wanting to draw everybody to him, whoever they are, wherever they're from, whatever their abilities or lack of abilities. And this is a fundamental part of our faith, isn't it, that Jesus is there for everybody. And this is our basic belief in God's love and grace. So those are points that are usually made, but I want to actually look at a slightly different aspect of this story about that journey to find Christ. The shepherds and the Magi were the first in a very long line of people looking for and finding Christ. It's a line that stretches back now over 2,000 years and right across the globe. For the shepherds, Jesus was very close to where they worked. We don't even know if they were particularly looking for the Messiah. until a noisy bunch of angels woke them up in the night, and to escape the racket, they decided they'd better go off to Bethlehem. So this was a bit sort of hit and miss, random, and they were amazed by what they saw. The Magi, on the other hand, had been looking and studying and researching, trying to find out where this king was going to be, what he meant. Both sets of people, different journeys, got there. And when they got there, they were very impressed. And that, I think, in itself is surprising, because the surroundings in which they found this baby king were not particularly impressive, were they? It was probably a cave or a stable. Nothing posh, no aristocrats, no palace, no kingly robes or anything. But we know that both the shepherds and the kings or magi were amazed by what they saw. They were overjoyed. And the shepherds, we know, went away telling other people what they'd seen. The magi, even in this humble place, recognized a king. They bowed down and worshipped him, and they gave him those gifts appropriate to a king. So these very different stories bring us to the same point. They recognize Christ as unique. And I believe that each person's journey to Christ is something unique. When you get there, there's the same result: transformation, amazement, a desire to praise and share. But there are so many different routes to get there, aren't there? If you just look through the New Testament, I'll just pick out a few. The elderly Simeon has come to the temple, particularly because the Holy Spirit said, you know, get along there, you might find something special. And he knows he's seeking the Lord's Christ. He's been promised he'll see that revelation before he dies. And there he sees the baby, immediately recognizes him, and sings for joy. In the early part of John's Gospel, Jesus starts calling disciples to him, and Philip, having been summoned and finding Christ, immediately wants to go and get somebody else. He goes to tell Nathanael, come and see. They know that this is something special, but a different journey. He's been called by Christ, he calls somebody else. And then there's that chance encounter, what I might call a refreshment stop, where Jesus meets a Samaritan lady. She ends up talking to him, they get into conversation, and she thinks this might be the Christ. She's only come to draw water, just her daily job, but she's found this unique person, and she rushes off to tell everybody. Again, she says, come and see. Well, how about all of us? We know that Jesus Christ is there for everybody. But I think everybody has a different story to tell about how they find Christ. And I know that for some people there's been something very dramatic happened, and that's happened to people here. They've suddenly felt this presence, God really saying, you know, come on, here's my son. For others of us, it's been a bit of a long, hard slog. And we might just get glimpses of Christ here and there, and that gradual revelation. But for everyone, it's different in the journey. But for everyone, what they find is that same Jesus Christ. You possibly have heard testimonies here when people have been confirmed, or you might have read, I think the Christmas literature we put out at church has got some stories of different people's journeys to Christ. Each different, but each with that same wonderful goal which was revealed when the Magi and the shepherds visited the stable in Bethlehem. You might want to reflect on your own journey. But I want to say today that there are things we can do either to further that search if we haven't found Christ yet, or to strengthen our relationship with him, to really renew our finding of Christ. Something at the new year begins, we can refresh our relationship. What things can we do? Well, one thing, as you're all here this morning, is come to church. We know that God isn't confined to buildings. God is everywhere. Christ is everywhere. But in a church, you meet together with other people. You hear the word of the Lord. You worship him. And, of course, very significantly, you partake of either, depending on your tradition, the symbols of his body and his blood, or the real body and blood. You share in communion. And that's something maybe we all need to think about. Sometimes one can go up to communion and it's all a little bit casual, isn't it? But that is really so important. This is our meeting with Christ. If you're a regular churchgoer, that's great. If not, you might want to come more regularly. Regular means more than once a year, I think. You could also perhaps add another service. You're all here today at the morning service, but there are services here every day of the week. And there's an evening service on a Sunday. So church going, being together with other Christians. We meet Christ in Scripture, don't we? And that's something we all need to pay attention to. I think when I was preaching before Christmas, I mentioned my love for murder mysteries, and I've been particularly taken with the actor David Suchet playing Poirot. He's done a lovely recording of the Bible. I hope some of you have got that. But he tells how he found Christ. He was lying in a bath in a hotel in America. It's not necessarily the place you expect to find our Lord, is it? But he got this sudden urge to read the Bible. So he got out of the bath, I assume, and he found a Gideon Bible in the hotel room. He says, "From somewhere I got this desire to read the Bible again. And that's the most important part of my conversion. I started with the Acts of the Apostles, and then I moved to Paul's letters, Romans and Corinthians. And it was only after that I came to the Gospels in the New Testament, and I suddenly discovered the way that life should be followed." And he says, as he read the New Testament, he encountered Jesus Christ. So we do encounter Christ in the Gospels, and perhaps all of us need to make reading of Scripture a more consistent part of our daily lives. And we're going to be launching in Lent, I think, a plan for reading the New Testament in a year. Now, a lot of you will have read the Bible in a year. You'll say we know the New Testament jolly well. But actually, every time you read, you find something new. We find that at our Wednesday communions when we have a Bible study. And we can read the same passage you've read over and over again, and then suddenly the penny drops, something new is there. So Scripture reading can bring us into that closer relationship with Christ. Perhaps we need to make a quiet time a little bit better than it's been in the past. I am not very good about this. My quiet time is about 2 minutes of hasty prayer before I sit down at my computer. That is not good enough. And I've made a decision to have a much better plan of a longer quiet time, reading Scripture, praying, reading other holy books. So time for Jesus to come to you, to speak to you, and for you to find him afresh. We need to keep our eyes and ears open. One way we find Christ is in other people, something of Christ reflected in others. And you may have heard me say this before, but one of the clearest indications I had of feeling Christ close by was when we were serving a shared meal to a bunch of people who were schizophrenic and either drug addicts or alcoholics or both, and we had Bible study and a meal. And it was at that meal with one of these really sad, I hate to say the words, but sort of down and out characters. I just looked into his face and I suddenly felt Christ's eyes penetrating me. I can still feel a shiver down my spine when I remember that. But that reminds us of that bit in Matthew where he says, "If you were hungry, you fed me." We can find Christ in our encounters with other people. That is a very unexpected place. You might go somewhere a bit more expected to find Christ, on a retreat or to one of our quiet mornings. But what I'm trying to get across today is to say that Christ is for all of us, everybody. We all have our own journeys. Christ is not just for Christmas, he's for all the times. And We all need to make our journey. We've got many routes to finding Jesus. And whether we think we've got there or are on the way, or we just need to strengthen what we've found, there are always more and more things we can do to come to Christ and to find him afresh. And there are, of course, some people who are deeply resistant to finding Christ, aren't they? Saul or Paul was one of them. And David Suchet says that he was rather dragged kicking and screaming to the kingdom. But anyone who's resistant maybe just needs to look out. They might just get stopped in their tracks by Christ. Wherever we are on our journey, let us all make a resolution this year to find Christ afresh and to strengthen our relationship with him.